Pause. The bossy guy said they could come back to that. Then he asked what exactly they were looking for, and things got back on solid ground, with long back and forths about what qualities a sniper rifle needed. Cold shot accuracy was head of the list, of course. Often a sniper just gets one chance, which by definition will be out of a cold barrel. It has to hit. So the barrel is all about perfectly uniform internal dimensions and heavy match-grade steel, with the right twist, and maybe some fluting for stiffness and reduced weight, the whole thing properly bedded into the stock, which shouldn't swell or shrink, depending on the weather, or be too heavy to carry 20 miles, and so on. The liaison women spoke often and at length. The first up was identified by the initials C.R. She had said, "This is extremely high-tech metalwork we're talking about here, and we'll need groundbreaking optics. Maybe we could incorporate laser rangefinding. This could be very exciting. It could be a great research opportunity for somebody." A smart woman, whole sentences and good sentences. She was trying to make it radical, not boring, and she was hinting at big dollars getting spent in someone's district, which would be an IOU any senator would be happy to tuck away in his vest pocket, a good tactical approach. But it didn't work. The chairman of the board asked, "Who's going to pay for all that?" At which point the transcriber had written, "Pause." Reacher switched to the bio stack and found that CR was Christine Richardson from Orange County, California, private prep school, private high school, West Point. She was 30 years old and already a lieutenant colonel, fast track, and the political shop was a greased rail anyway. Nice work if you could get it. The 30-year-old woman with the fanny pack and the headband made it through three crosswalks on green and got held up at the next three on red. The seventh turned green before she got there, but it was choked with walkers, and they were slow to get going, so she got hung up behind them, running on the spot for 2 whole seconds, then pushing through, dodging left, dodging right, refusing to cut away diagonally because then the distance would be less than the full 5 miles, which would be cheating, and she never cheated. At least, not with running. She made it through the crowd to the opposite corner, and she turned right, and she logged the junction in her mind as half red and half green, which seemed fair to her, and which meant so far she was running exactly 50-50, 3.5 green, 3.5 red, which was not a catastrophe, but was not great either, because she liked to bank plenty of greens well before she got closer to the center, where things were always stickier. She ran on. Another unbroken stretch, her strides still long and easy, still relaxed, but pushing now just a little more, picking up the pace, still breathing well, still moving well, her hair still swinging behind her in its perfect pattern, still symmetrical, still like a metronome. The next crosswalk was red. The man in the car got snarled up in traffic where 270 approached the beltway, inevitable and expected. Orderly deceleration by all concerned, the flow hanging together, still like the 1,000-round burst from the distant chain gun, but fully subsonic now, slow and fat and stealthy in the air. 355 to Wisconsin Avenue would be jammed, so he decided to stay on until 16th Street, east of Rock Creek Park. It wouldn't be a racetrack, but it would be better, and it would drop him down all the way to Scott Circle, and then Mass Ave ran all the way to the Capitol. He was a bullet. And he was still on target. From the other side of the office, Cornelius Christopher said, "Okay, library hour is over. Go get your suit now. You can take the documents with you, but not out of the building." The supply office was 2 floors down, not exactly full of exploding fountain pens or cameras concealed in buttonhole flowers, but full of distantly related stuff, and certainly full of all the items needed to turn an honest man into a fake. The suit was well chosen, not remotely expensive or up-to-date, but not tacky either. Some kind of gray sharkskin weave, probably some man-made fiber in there, or a lot. Wide lapels like 5 years ago. Exactly what an enlisted man would wear to a bank interview or a bail hearing. It was artfully creased here and there, from years in an imaginary closet, and there was even room dust on the collar. It looked like it was going to fit, except the arms and the shoulders. Reacher's file figures showed 6'5 and 250, and he was reasonably in proportion, like a regular guy enlarged, except for arms as long as a gorilla's and shoulders like basketballs stuffed in a sack. There was a button-down shirt that was going to be way too small in the neck, but that was okay, because soldiers in suits were supposed to look awkward and uncomfortable. The shirt was blue, and there was a red tie with it, with small blue crests on it. It could have come from a rifle club somewhere. It was a good choice. The undershirt and the boxers were standard white PX items, which was fine because Reacher had never heard of anyone buying that kind of stuff anywhere else. There was a pair of black PX socks and a pair of black dress uniform shoes. They looked to be the right size. The supply guy said, "Try it all on. If there's a problem, we can do some alterations. If not, you should keep it on, get used to it, and wear it in some. You'd already be on a bus or a plane by now if you were really coming in from somewhere." The shirt sleeves ended up half-staff, and the neck couldn't get close to buttoning, but the effect was okay. Every sergeant in civvies Reacher had ever seen wrenched his tie loose after about 10 minutes. The suit coat was tight across the shoulders, and the sleeves stopped short of the knobs on the side of his wrists. He stood back and checked a mirror. Perfect. A sergeant's salary was embarrassingly close to the poverty line, and sergeants didn't read GQ, not usually. The whole ensemble looked exactly like $100 grudgingly spent at the outlet mall ahead of a sister-in-law's second wedding. The supply guy said,
"Keep it on. It'll do."
Reacher was supposed to supply his own pocket junk, so next up was ID. It had his real name and his photograph on it, but a master sergeant's rank, and an infantry unit sufficiently generic to be plausible for a guy deployed with special forces, shooting individuals one at a time from a mile away.
"How do I communicate with the colonel?"
Reacher asked.
"Try the telephone,"
the supply guy said. "Sometimes hard to find a phone in a hurry."
"There's no danger,"
the supply guy said.
"It's all just talking."
The woman with the fanny pack and the headband crossed the Potomac on the Francis Scott Key Bridge, high above the water, running hard, die straight, through the hot, swampy air, a glorious, unbroken sprint, heading for Georgetown, but not planning to get there. She was going to turn right on M Street, which became Pennsylvania Avenue, all the way to Washington Circle, and then New Hampshire Avenue to DuPont Circle, and then Mass Ave, the rest of the way to the Capitol itself. A crazy route, geographically, but any other option was either less or more than 5 miles, and 5 miles was what she ran, to the inch. Anyone else would have used her car's odometer on a quiet Sunday morning. But she had bought a surveyor's wheel, a big yellow thing on a stick, and she had walked with it 4 separate times before she came up with 8,800 yards exactly, and not a single step less or more. Precision was important. She ran on. By that point, she could feel a wide sweat stripe all the way down her back, and her throat was starting to burn. Pollution hanging over the sluggish river, a visible cloud. But she dug in and pushed on. Long, long strides. Fast cadence, arms pumping. Her headband was soaked. But she was ahead of schedule. Just. Many variables ahead, but she had a chance of making it. 5 miles in 30 minutes. 8,800 yards in 1,800 seconds. 14 2/3 feet a second. Not an international distance, so there was no world record. No national record, no Olympic record. But the greats might have done it in 24 minutes. So 30 was acceptable, for her, with traffic and lights and office workers in the way. She pushed on, breathing hard, still moving well, right up there in the zone.